Tonight we're looking at the statement in our Articles of Faith of the Atonement for Sin. What does that really mean? We're going to look at that tonight. Romans chapter 5, I think I put in the bulletin verse 21, but it's actually verse 11 and 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. Romans 5, verse 10. It says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the fact that you've gathered us here tonight. Thank you for all those that are here. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you would teach us more about what it means that that our sins have been atoned for. Father, help us to have a greater understanding of you and of your word and of all that you've done on our behalf. Father, I pray that you would help us to have your Holy Spirit work in our hearts and encourage us through these things. I pray that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. The statement in our Articles of Faith said, "We believe that the salvation of sinners is wholly of grace through the mediatorial offices of the Son of God. Christ, by the appointment of the Father, freely took upon him our nature, yet without sin, and honored the divine law by his personal obedience. Christ did not die a martyr, but made a full vicarious atonement. His death was a voluntary substitution of himself in the sinner's place, then included all to perfection. He is in every way the suitable, compassionate, and all-sufficient Savior." So as we discuss the atonement of sin, it's necessary for us to understand what the atonement of Christ really means. And as you look through the Old Testament, most of the instances where the word atonement is used are preceded or followed by the word make, or some form of that word. And the idea in those passages is that the children of Israel brought something to the tabernacle in order to provide for the sacrifice to be made. And that was to be used to make an atonement for their sin so that they might be reconciled back to God or made right with God. However, we read in the Bible that that sacrifice only served as a temporary atonement. That's why they had to come back again and make that atonement for their sin with that sacrifice. It was only a temporary covering of their sin. But we learn in the New Testament when Christ died on the cross, he didn't provide us with a sacrifice that we could bring back to God. Okay? He didn't provide us with something that we could cover our sins with. Rather, when Christ died on the cross, he was the sacrifice. He was the covering for our sins. And so he covered our sin with his blood. He was the atonement. It wasn't that the sacrifice he gave us was the atonement. He was the atonement. And so he satisfied the wrath of God for sin. And when we did not ask for it, when we did not deserve it, he became the atonement for our sin. He was the atonement. And the word atonement means to cover. When Adam and Eve sinned, God made them coats of skins. And even though they had made themselves aprons of fig leaves, that was not sufficient, which shows that man's attempts to cover his sin are not sufficient. And God made a covering or atoned for their sin by giving them coats of sin. And only God can provide the perfect atonement for our sin. He did it through Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to look at tonight in our statement here is salvation by grace alone. As it says, we believe the salvation of sinners is wholly or completely by grace. And that is the grace of God toward man. One definition of grace is God's unmerited favor. Another acrostic of faith is God's riches, or of grace rather, is God's riches at Christ's expense. Salvation only comes by the grace of God. And some of these verses are familiar to you, but Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Okay? That's the grace of God. It is a gift. It is something we don't deserve, something we didn't ask for. It's by grace that we have salvation. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Again, God's grace. Acts 15:11, Paul says, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. In that passage he's talking about in the verses preceding that, it was talking about the Jews and how they were trying to say that circumcision was necessary for salvation. And they say, no, we believe that through the grace, they were trying to push this on the Gentiles. And they said, no, we believe that through the grace of God alone, that the person is saved. And so Paul is saying it's only by the grace of God. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There's nothing there on our part that is done to bring salvation. It's all through Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, we are all condemned to die. And Christ provided, by his grace, he provided salvation. God didn't wait for us to see ourselves as sinners before he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Rather, he extended his grace toward us. He provided the atonement for our sin so that we, when we came to the realization of our sin, when we came to understand that we are sinners, the atonement had already been made. The payment had already been made. And so he was our atonement, and it only came by grace alone. Secondly, salvation is through the work of Christ. Firstly, we see under this is that Christ came on our behalf. Christ did the work of our salvation that we could not do. None of us can earn it. We can't pay for it. We can't work for it. None of us can do anything for our salvation. Christ did the work for us. Matthew chapter 18, verse 11 says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. When a person is lost, what is it? They have no direction. They have no means to get back where they've come from because they don't know where they've come from. They don't know the way back. And so Christ provided that. Christ came in order for us to find our way back to God when we were lost. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so he came on our behalf. He died for us. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And so again, the work was done by Christ. He did it on our behalf. Secondly, under this, that it was a work of Christ, letter B, it was Christ was appointed by the Father. One of the verses, a key verse in that is John 3:16, that we all know. For God so loved the world that what? He gave. Okay? He didn't ask us to provide something. God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave all that needed to be done for salvation. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And so we see here that God didn't spare anything. He didn't even spare his own Son, the most precious thing to him. But he gave him for us all that we might have salvation. Christ was appointed by the Father. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. And this was manifested, and this was shown the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or to be in our place and for our sins. And so Christ was appointed by the Father. Thirdly, we see that Christ freely took on the form of man, yet without sin. And we learn that in several verses here. John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We covered some of these verses when we talked about the incarnation of Christ and the virgin birth of Christ, and how that he took on flesh. He took on actual likeness of men in order to identify with man. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. Hebrews 2:17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And so because it was necessary for him to identify as man or with man, he put on the flesh of man, he put on the likeness of men in order to provide that sacrifice. And Hebrews 4:15 tells us, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so Christ freely took on the form of man, yet without sin. Next, we see Christ honored the divine law by his obedience. What is the divine law? What was the divine law? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And God said that at the very beginning when he told Adam and Eve. He said, if you eat of that tree, which I told you not to eat of, you will surely die. The wages of sin is death. God put it out there. He put out the sentence of sin. He said, that's what it is. That's the law. You sin, you'll die. The Bible tells us the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so that is the divine law. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So Christ honored that law. He followed that law. What did he do? He took upon him our sin. Therefore, if he took upon him our sin, what did that mean? That he was the one that would have to die. He was the one that would die for our sin because he took on our sin. And he died in our place in order to provide that atonement. Romans chapter 5, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so that by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And then in 2 Corinthians 1:9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. And so we had that sin. We were condemned. We were condemned to death. But Christ honored the divine law by his obedience. And then next we see Christ's death was a complete substitution. There's nothing that we can do, there's nothing that we need to do to satisfy the wrath of God against sin. Christ did it all. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And really, as we talked about this morning, that's the gospel. Christ died for our sins. When we talk to somebody about their need for salvation, we say, there's nothing they can do. We hand them a bridge track and we say, look, there's nothing you can do to bridge that gap between you and God except the fact that Christ died for your sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Again, there's nothing there that we did. It's all what God did. It's all what God provided. And he took Christ. He sent him to this earth. And Christ became our atonement for us that we might have salvation. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And so he was the complete substitution. Again, people think, well, there's something else that has to be done. Christ did, yes, he died on the cross, but there's something else. No, there's nothing. He was a complete substitute for our sin. And so the atonement of Christ paid for the sins of the whole world, but the individual must appropriate that payment through faith. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. Says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And so Christ died for the world. When Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son to die for the sins of the whole world. So does that mean when, because Jesus died on the cross for sin, that all the world is saved? No. What has to happen? Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So what does it do? It brings it down to the individual. Okay, yes, Christ died for the sins of the whole world, but every individual has to make that choice to accept the sacrifice, to accept the atonement. The death of Christ pays for all the sins of all people, but not one individual has his own account settled until he believes. As I was studying, I came across the illustration of a benefactor who would go to a college campus, and he would go to the administration office, he would go to the accounting office, and he would pay off the loans, he would pay off the tuition of every one of the students on that campus. Now, the president gets up and he announces, okay, all of your tuition has been paid, but you need to come by and you need to sign this paper acknowledging that and turn that into the accountant's office. What does that student have to do in order for his accountant to be paid? He has to go to the office, he has to sign the paper in order to turn it back into the accountant's office. What if that student never goes and signs that paper? He never accepts the gift that was given. And Christ died for all of our sin, and if a person never comes to the point where they accept Christ as their Savior, they don't receive the atonement. I had somebody tell me, I think I've shared this before, that they thought that when Christ died on the cross, forgiveness was automatic. Forgiveness is there. Forgiveness is available. But a person doesn't receive that forgiveness until they acknowledge their sin, until they acknowledge their need of a Savior, until they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so the atonement has been made. And if a person never believes, even though the price has been fully paid, his sins will not be forgiven. And so that president would stand up and say, I have good news for you. Your tuition has been paid. Each of those students had to come and they had to sign that paper in order for their tuition to be, their account to be satisfied. Christ died for every one of us. Christ died for all the world. So what should we be telling the world? What should we be telling those around us? The debt's been paid. You know, you see people in these different religions. They're working and they're going around and they're trying to think that they've got to do something. They've got to go through different actions to receive this salvation. They're missing it. They're missing it. It's really not that difficult. But they're putting so much on their own shoulders that Christ has already paid. He's already satisfied the atonement. And so we have the opportunity to tell the world. And he's even as we've gone through these verses, and we've gone through them, and it hasn't taken that long to go through them, but the atonement has been paid. And the atonement is that sacrifice that Christ provided in our place in order that we might have salvation. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, there really isn't any more that we can say because your word tells us all that we need to know, that the atonement for our sins has been paid. Father, we thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for us. We thank you that you didn't leave it to us to satisfy the wrath of your wrath against sin, that before we even deserved it, before we even asked for it, you sent your Son. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love for us. Thank you that you're a holy God. And all that you do for us, for our good, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.